Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Tennessee, and we're here for it. We want you to be here with us. Again, Mulligan's is the place to be. Happy hour underway right now, and they are expecting a close-to-capacity crowd tonight.
It's pretty packed already.
The NFL draft. That gets underway at 6 o'clock tonight. So we will be stepping aside at 6 o'clock, but have no fear. We're going to be hanging out with you. Buddy Lee's going to order us a bunch of boneless wings, bone-in wings, whatever he wants to get. We're going to have a couple beverages and talk some football with you between the hours of 6 and 7 tonight. 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. We're also coming your way on FM frequencies 106.3 in Iowa City. That would be the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, here in Cedar Rapids. Alex Kuhn alongside myself as we get ready to chat with Howard Balzer coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Howard was with ESPN at the very first televised NFL draft 40 years ago. As a matter of fact, you may have seen me just tweet about that. Woodges on tap today as well. And we're going to squeeze in a little baseball talk coming up in about 12-13 minutes with Mitch Garver, the catcher for the Minnesota Twins, former member of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, off to a fantastic start this season, as are the Twins themselves. Who's your guy for your team tonight, assuming you have a first-round pick, of course? 319-366-1600. We want to hear from you. Join us on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, or pick up the phone and give us a call. Kyle Mann, our producer back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. I'd ask you, but you don't really have an NFL team anymore.
You're right. Yeah.
You're more invested in where TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant are going. What are the odds that we see Hockenson go within the first 8 selections tonight?
That's tough. I'd say probably 50-50. It'll be interesting to see just where the chips fall, because I think this, more than any other draft, there are going to be some surprises. We look and we say all of these defensive ends and edge rushers and some of these pass rushing defensive tackles are the best value. But what about teams like Green Bay, who have a bunch of different needs? What about teams like Jacksonville, who I think they figure they're pretty solid at a lot of places? Maybe they go for the best overall player, or maybe they go for a tight end. I can't get in the minds of a lot of these scouting departments, and that's what makes the NFL draft so compelling, because every single year we hear a draft pick where everybody's like, why are they drafting this person at this position? And I think we're going to see a whole heck of a lot of that tonight.
We've got a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com. Will Kyler Murray be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft? There seems to be now, not necessarily dissension among the ranks, but there seems to be trial balloons floated out there. Whether or not there's anything to this, or whether it's Steve Keim in Arizona trying to throw everybody off the scent, but there seems to be some indication that Kyler Murray is not the slam dunk for the number one overall pick that many people thought he would be for the better part of the last month and a half, 2 months. I mean, it seems forever. Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback, has been locked in as the number one pick to Arizona. Now, it seems to be at least some question as to whether or not they will go in that direction. They reportedly have made their decision, but are being very tight-lipped about that, as you would expect, and maybe that's to spur some action. Just in case somebody wants to pick up the phone and give Steve Keim a call to try to acquire that top draft selection. But my money would be on them taking Kyler Murray tonight.
I think if they stay at that position, they're going to take Kyler Murray. Now, your point about teams trading up, I had mentioned the Oakland Raiders as a team who had shown interest in Kyler Murray. I think that has kind of fizzled out, but a team like Oakland or Green Bay or some of these other teams with multiple first-round draft picks, there are a lot of franchise-changing defensive players in that top 5, in that top 10, to where you wonder if a team will want to trade up to get Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa or Josh Allen. So I think that that's why Steve Keim, there's no reason for him to close the book on somebody trading up, because they can change their mind really quickly if they get a good enough package.
1573 on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line says, Lions fan here, Montez Sweat, Brian Burns, or T.J. Hockenson at number eight?
Can't go wrong.
Well, we saw earlier today a development with one of those three players that may affect their draft stock.
Well, Montez Sweat was rumored to have failed a physical and had a heart condition to where they said that his heart was too large, and a lot of teams were worried about that. Now, the development today, according to Ian Rappaport, is that maybe he was misdiagnosed with a heart condition, and he's been cleared by several doctors. So I think that there was some question as to whether he was going to slide back in that first round the past couple of days. I don't think that's going to be the case. I believe in the inner circles of the NFL, they believe that Montez Sweat will be fine. And because of that, I could see him definitely going in the top 10 to 15 picks, because he is that talented.
San Francisco will follow Arizona tonight, and then the New York Jets, the Oakland Raiders, who have three picks in the first round, the first of which comes at number four, and Tampa Bay picking five. Then it's the Giants, Jags, Lions, Bills, and Broncos rounding out the top 10. The Green Bay Packers have two first-round draft selections. They will pick at 12 and 30, which they received from the New Orleans Saints. The Minnesota Vikings hold the 18th selection in tonight's first round of the draft. The Chicago Bears will not be picking unless they somehow make a trade to move into the first round. You may remember, if you are a Bears fan, some first-round draft picks being traded to the Oakland Raiders for Khalil Mack. I don't think any Bears fan is losing sleep tonight because they don't have a first-round draft pick this year.
The Bears, their first-round draft pick is Khalil Mack. The Chiefs, their first-round draft pick is Frank Clark. So we already know who those two teams drafted in the first round, basically.
Chiefs would have been picking 29 tonight. That pick, as you mentioned, 2 days ago, going to the Seattle Seahawks. So there are a couple Midwest-based teams that there isn't really a whole lot of intrigue tonight. Now, we say that, and there are ways to get it done if you're there at 30, 31, 32, where you want to come up and take one of those last picks if you can put a deal together to get it done. But the odds are long that we see the Bears make a play for that tonight. To me, the intrigue here lies with Green Bay.
Yes.
And it's not just because I'm rocking the Aaron Rodgers jersey, because they have the 44th overall selection in the second, which is in the second round, but they've got that 30th pick on the back half of the first round, as well as that number 12 pick. So could you see them pick at 12, and then if they wanted to come up a little higher in the draft board, could they package those two picks, the second rounder and the late first rounder, if there was somebody out there that they wanted to come up and grab? There's a lot of intrigue here tonight, and nobody really knows what's going to happen, because as we've seen in the past, a player that looks like a surefire top five, top 10 pick can slide all the way down into Friday.
Todd, can we talk about the Packers for a second?
We could talk about the Packers all you want.
Because I have absolutely no idea what direction they're going to go.
Neither do I, and that's why I'm breaking my own cardinal rule here. I started the show tonight by asking people who their guy was.
Right.
I don't have a guy.
That's
the Packers have two first-round picks. I think it would be a little bit of a reach to grab Noah Fant at 12, but if he wound up at Green Bay, I wouldn't necessarily be crying about it. Let's put it that way. I think at 12, it's a little bit higher, but he's not going to be there, Noah Fant, at number 30. So
no.
You've got to make a choice. Again, if you're Green Bay, do you pop him at 12 and address another need, maybe a more pressing need later on with that 30th overall selection? Or do you use the number 12 pick on the best player available outside of the tight end? We've talked about the tight end position in football. It seems to be in a transition period right now. and yet you have two guys out there from the same school, which has never happened before, who are both capable of being a first-round draft pick tonight, and there are still teams that view the tight end as a valuable part of an offense and a passing attack as opposed to an additional blocker. Those teams are going to get rewarded tonight with a former Iowa Hawkeye.
They are, and I think that what we've talked about with T.J. Hockenson probably going in the top 10, I think he will. You've mentioned this before. Teams are going to react. There are a lot of teams at the top of that first round or even in the first round that need a tight end, and you likened it earlier today in the sports office to your fantasy football draft where somebody ruins it by drafting a quarterback early. And then you feel the need maybe earlier than you want to draft a quarterback.
The exactly. run on insert position here.
Exactly. In tight end, there's a huge drop-off between Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson and then Irv Smith from Alabama, who could be a late first to maybe a third-round pick. So, but for Green Bay, they have so many needs. And there are so many good players out there at those needs. And one of those positions that we don't even really talk about when you're mentioning the Packers fans, I want to hear from you. Middle linebacker. And if a guy like Devin Bush from Michigan, who is supremely athletic and just a thumper from that middle linebacker position, or could play strong side linebacker as well, do you take him at 12? There are a lot of really solid offensive linemen that you could plug and play at right tackle. Do you take an offensive lineman? That goes back to what is the health of Brian Bulaga? Do they think he'll be able to sustain a full season of play in the NFL? The safety position. Do they get another rusher? It's just the Packers can go so many different directions, and I'm going to be very interested to see what Brian Gutekunst does.
As 55-51 on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line, the Packers love former Hawkeyes. There have been a number of Iowa players through the years, Brian Bulaga, Micah Hyde, Mike Daniels, to name a few that have wound up in Green Bay. Could we see another Hawkeye connection with the Packers? We will see. We will find out tonight. 319-366-1600. The name to watch, in my opinion, in perusing some of the mock drafts today, is that of Daniel Jones, the quarterback out of Duke, who there seems to be some steam with two teams from the East Coast, Washington and the New York Giants, both of whom appear to be very interested in him. If you were listening to ESPN Radio earlier today, you heard Dan Orlovsky say that that's an absolutely terrible selection, that Daniel Jones, if you look at the course of his college career, he didn't show up in any big games. He had his best games against some of the worst opponents. Nobody knows anything. There will be busts tonight. There will be successful picks made tonight. There will be all pros. There will be guys that have long 11-year careers in the league. And there are going to be guys who are out of the league in a year or two. We just don't know who those players are at this point. But they will be drafted tonight.
They will. The Daniel Jones thing. How much different is Daniel Jones than, say, Josh Allen from Wyoming last year? They're very similar. And so when I hear somebody say they didn't play in any big games or win any big games, none of the draft people were saying that about Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming. Instead, they were making excuses as to why his receivers couldn't catch footballs, why he only completed 55% of his passes. So I find it strange, these sort of double standards with prospects. I think the Giants like Daniel Jones. They've been connected to him since really November or December when he started picking up steam, but they're not going to take him at 6. But Dan Snyder, once again, with the Washington Redskins, is the one to keep an eye out on, because clearly he has an eye on a quarterback, and I think he's going to go up and get one. I don't know who it is, which one of the three that will be available, but he has an eye on one.
We are going to take a break from football for just a second. When we come back, we have Minnesota Twins catcher Mitch Garver set to join us on the program. Plus, Kyle is going to bring you your first Alexander Lumber Big Board update of the day. Still plenty of time. Join us here at Mulligan's, broadcasting until 6 o'clock, and then hanging out for the first hour of tonight's NFL Draft. 1060 Old Marion Road. Mulligans, your shot at a better day. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
Boys and girls track and field teams had qualifiers for the Drake Relays this weekend in Des Moines. Nate Scala qualified in the boys' 800, and both the boys' and girls' 400-meter relay teams also qualified. The boys' soccer team raised their record to 7-1 with wins over North Scott and Linmar. The Saints will host Washington tonight. The girls' soccer team fell to Linmar 3-0 Tuesday and will be at Washington tonight. And the girls' golf team finished 7th in the Linmar Invitational on Tuesday. Ellie Broxick led the Saints with an 81. April 30th is Forever Saints Day. This one-day event is a new take on Xavier Foundation's alumni appeal. The Saints hope to reach a goal of 500 total donations that day. Get more details and donate on April 30th at xaviersaints.org/FSD.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save updating your home's exterior. Right now, all stock decorative motion lights are on sale. The Brookline 2 features Dulux technology, going from low to high illumination when motion is detected. In three finishes, $29.99. The Treehouse in oil rub bronze finish is $39.99 after rebate. Get these and other great savings during Menards' spring catalog sale, now through May 5th. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Mother's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Great lineups. The 27 Yankees, the 75 Reds, the 82 Brewers. On KGYM, it's U Nash and Dukes on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. On Smart FM, Just John steps up to the plate in the mornings. Greg's at bat from 10 until 3. And Rick hits musical home runs on your afternoon drive home. Smart Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. With you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, it is the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire, lindertire.com. Check them out online for special online-only savings. You can visit them at one of their three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Howard Balls are going to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have Would You for you today, as well as more NFL draft discussion. And a big honor last night revealed for the greatest player in Iowa women's basketball history. More details on that to come before 5 o'clock as well. Happy hour is underway at Mulligan's. That goes until 6 o'clock. And then right as we get off the air tonight and join up with coverage of ESPN's NFL draft broadcast, half-priced wings from 6 until close. That's the Thursday night special every Thursday night here at Mulligan's. I took the opportunity earlier today to bone up on, no pun intended, as we're talking about wings, the rules of the Iowa legislature and the governor's office in as it pertains to the gambling bill, which was passed on Tuesday by the Iowa House. It passed the Senate last week. The governor traditionally has 3 days to sign a piece of legislation once it passes both chambers of the House. If she doesn't, then it doesn't become law. Now, there's a pocket veto which comes into play if the legislature shuts down basically today, maybe tomorrow. I'm not quite sure what the timeline is on this, but any piece of legislation that's passed in the last 3 days of a legislative session and goes to the governor then has 30 days to sign or not sign the bill. So for those of you out there that are perhaps getting a little nervous about Kim Reynolds not attaching her signature to this bill, which would legalize sports gambling as well as daily fantasy play in the state of Iowa, a lot hinges on just exactly what the timeline here is for as to when the bill hits her desk and when the legislature closes up shop for the remainder of the season.
So you're telling me things don't move quickly within the state government,
well,
or any government?
There are a lot of balls in the air right now.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. And we'll send things back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids really quickly. Kyle's going to bring you a big board update. It's presented by our friends at Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary location on Independence Drive in Iowa City.
The Iowa women made an announcement that many Hawkeye fans have been calling for since her career came to a conclusion in the school's first Elite Eight since 1993, that being that Megan Gustafson, number 10 jersey, will be retired. She's easily the most decorated basketball player in Iowa history, but also became the first consensus National Player of the Year in Big Ten history. The Rough Riders fell to the Chicago Steel last night 4-1, thus eliminating them from the Eastern Conference Finals and concluding their season. The Colonels beat the Timber Rattlers up in Wisconsin last night 4-3, powered by Hunter Lee, who was 2-for-3 with a homer and 2 runs scored. They're back on the road tonight at Kane County, first pitch set for 6:30. Of course, it is draft day, and we'll be hopping off the air an hour early to bring you coverage on all three KGYM frequencies. The Iowa Hawkeyes are going to try to become the first school in history to have two tight ends selected in the first round of the same draft. Quite frankly, it feels like a pretty good chance. TJ Hawkinson has received a lot of attention in the 7 to 12 range. Noah Fant has been mocked anywhere from 8 to 12 to 24. Iowa State's Akeem Butler is also said to be one of the more polarizing prospects in the entire draft. His name will also be discussed in certain war rooms tonight. Again, we'll pick up coverage on all three frequencies at 6 o'clock.
All right, Kyle, we'll check back in with you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now I'm told we've got an old friend of the show on the line, the catcher for the Minnesota Twins, former Cedar Rapids Colonel, Mitch Garver, off to a fantastic start this season, as is his team. Mitch, how you doing, buddy? Long time no see.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, man. Everything's good.
Everything is great. Explain to me, did the light bulb just come on this year? Is it the new coaching staff? What seems to be working for you this year?
Well, I mean, I think honestly it's the accumulation of a lot of things. I think my experience learning over the past few years, and then even my past 2 years in the major leagues, it's kind of all starting to come together. So I'm feeling a little bit more confident at the plate and behind it. And, you know, I think with the addition of the new coaching staff that we have, which is a very relaxed, very professional, very smart crew that we have together. So, you know, I think everything's starting to click for us and myself individually.
You talk about you guys as a team. How much confidence has this first month kind of built for you guys collectively?
Well, yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of people ask about that, and I think it's been good for us because we've gone into some tough places and played against some of the best teams in the league already, and we've performed pretty well. You know, we took a game away from Philly early. We went into New York and played well there. And then, you know, Cleveland's no joke, even though they just got Lindor back. But we took a few games from them at home early in the season, and then we just played probably the best offensive team in the league this past series in Houston. And I think we showed pretty well against them. So I think we're all pretty excited to start this next homestand and getting a little bit deeper into those division games.
You hinted at the relaxed atmosphere in the clubhouse under Rocco Baldelli. What's it been like working with a guy who's a first-year manager?
Well, Rock's great. He's not your typical old-school manager. He's very, as most Twins know, he's very analytical. But personally, I think he has a very good personality to deal with young players. He's relaxed. You never see him get upset about too many things. He's kind of go with the flow, and it's been good for us because it's a nice change of pace. He's a young guy. He really likes to hang out with the players and get to know everybody on a more personal level. But when it comes to being on the field and managing a game, I think he's very experienced in that regard.
Is the rest of the coaching staff sort of the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're bringing back Derek Shelton for his second year as our bench coach, and him and Rocco go way back, so they blend really well together. We brought in Tony Diaz from the Rockies, who is probably one of the nicest coaches I've ever played with before, and he's brought a lot to the table for us. James Rowson is back for his third year with the Twins as a hitting coach, along with Rudy Hernandez. We have a great program set up with those guys. They really take care of their business, and they give us every opportunity to succeed. And, you know, we brought in Bill Evers from the Rays organization, who's a longtime manager for them in AAA. He has a lot of experience in the catching side of it. So, you know, it's been good to work with him, and we're still growing and trying to, you know, expand our game a little bit.
I noticed you didn't name one member of the coaching staff. What's it like having Tommy Watkins around in the clubhouse this year?
Tommy, I got to say, when I heard Tommy was announced to be our first base coach, I was way too excited. I texted him and congratulated him because I knew he'd been working really hard to get back into the major leagues, and he's a great addition to the staff. I think he's taking over the outfield and base running side of the game, and really just brought a lot to this team as far as that positive temperament that comes into the locker room every day. You know, he's always got a smile on his face, and I think he brings a lot.
What has your career trajectory been like so far? Where you're drafted as a senior out of New Mexico, you're a ninth-round pick, you have to earn your way through the minor leagues. Nothing was given to you. There were no guarantees that you'd make it to the major leagues, yet you're in the major leagues and succeeding.
Yeah, that's something I pride myself on, and that's the story that I hope one day I'll be able to pass on to future generations of players. Like, you know, all you need is that one chance. You really just need one opportunity to get into professional ball, and then something that most scouts or organizations can't really measure is how much heart you have, how much desire you have for the game. So when I was given that opportunity to sign as a senior there wasn't a signing bonus necessarily. There was a plane ticket and an opportunity. So I took that. I ran with it. And each year I was trying to get better at something, trying to learn a little bit more, trying to expand my game until finally, you know, things started clicking when I was in Double A in 2016. And then finally realized, like, hey, you know, I can play in the major leagues. I can play with these guys. And that's when things kind of took off for me.
Twins catcher Mitch Garver with us on the program, played here in Cedar Rapids several seasons ago. Good getting reacquainted with him. And Mitch, you mentioned earlier the analytics, the new school approach to baseball. A huge part of that comes at your position behind the plate with pitch framing. What goes into going from being an average pitch framer to a guy who's considered above average?
Well, I mean, coming out of college, you know, even 5-6 years ago, pitch framing wasn't really measured the way it was now. There was no way to actually measure it. And now you're seeing on TV, you're seeing the boxes, you know, where the catcher sets up, and that's considered the strike zone. So the more pitches you can receive in the correct position gives the umpire a better visual of home plate, thus leading to more strikes being called. It's really those borderline pitches, those ones that are just outside the box or just off the zone, maybe a little bit high or a little bit low. Those are the ones that you really want to capture and give your pitcher the best opportunity to get as many strikes as they can. So that's something that the game is really evolving into. I know you see a lot of the top catchers in the league really just fine-tuning the receiving part of the game, and that's something that we've put an emphasis on this past year in this past spring training, is to really try to improve scores back there, and really what it comes down to is getting strikes, and we want our pitchers to have every opportunity they can to get ahead in the count and then put hitters away when they have two strikes.
Your pitching staff, such an interesting blend of young talent and veteran guys. What's it been like working with them so far this season?
It's been good. We brought in a few new guys, and I think things are really starting to get together for us. Obviously, we have Jose Berríos, who's a potential Cy Young candidate one of these years. I think we all know he's our ace, and we love having him on the mound every fifth day. And then we got Kyle Gibson and Jake Odorizzi, two returning guys that have quite a few years of experience under the belt, and having them in the middle of our rotation is really good for us because they can eat up innings, and you know they continue to produce every outing. And then coming in the back end, there's a few new guys that we signed this year, or Michael Pineda we signed last year, but he made his Twins debut this year. He's obviously has a pretty good reputation being with the Yankees. He's got a lot of years in the game. He's that steady force that you can use. And then Martin Perez, who kind of reinvented himself this year. He's throwing a lot harder. He's throwing a new cutter that seems to be working really well for him. And then he's got also, you know, a curveball and changeup, two other plus off-speed pitches that we're really utilizing right now. So he's that's our kind of our starting rotation. And you know, when we get to the back end of the bullpen, we have Taylor Rogers, who's arguably one of the better relievers in the game, and a new addition, Blake Parker. He's kind of been closing out games. And, you know, a couple other guys like Trevor Hildenberger and Trevor May, two guys that have kind of come up through the Twins organization that really bring a lot for us. So, you know, we're still working out some kinks here and there, but we fully believe in these guys, you know, there are a few guys that can really help us win some games.
Who's the one guy on the staff that has the nastiest stuff that as a catcher maybe you don't really like working with because he makes you work back there because his stuff is so good?
I wouldn't say I don't like working with anybody. That's for
very
sure.
Diplomatic, Mitch. I like that. I like that.
I want the nastiest guy on the mound because that's the guy that's hard to hit. I think Barrios might have that stuff, and he continues to get better, and his drive to continue to get better is really what's impressive about him. He's so talented, yet he still thinks he can always get better. So that's why we kind of tag him as our ace, and he has the stuff to do it.
All right, let me flip the script on you then. Who's the nastiest pitcher that you've faced so far in your big league career?
Ooh, let's see. I know he may not have the same stuff as he did last year right now, but Chris Sale, by far, has some of the dirtiest stuff in the game. He's got that low three-quarters left-handed arm slot, throwing mid to upper 90s, and he's got a devastating slider to go along with it. So I would tag him as the nastiest guy I've faced.
I know you're probably going to accept any role that they give you and not complain about. What has it been like hitting out of that leadoff spot? They've been working you in there a little bit.
Yeah, that's something that we're trying. And I think, you know, we touched on it a little bit during spring training. I let off a few games there, but that was just kind of, I thought, to get some extra at-bats and, you know, get out of the game by the fifth or sixth inning. But it's something we're trying. And Rocco kind of approached me and said, hey, we're gonna try in the leadoff spot and see what you can do. Don't change anything. Just play your game. So that's what I've been doing. Really, after that first at-bat leading off the game, it's all the same. It's that first at-bat that kind of is a little bit different than something you've ever done before because, you know, you're trying to start off the game and get on base.
Mitch, before we let you go, I've got to ask you for your opinion as a catcher of your teammate, Willens Astudillo, who Twins fans have embraced La Tortuga. He's becoming sort of a cult hero. But as a fellow catcher, what was your reaction the very first time you saw him in a major league clubhouse?
I was happy to have him. I believe the first time he debuted was in Chicago in that Cubs series. So when he showed up, I think we all knew that we had a player that was pretty special. There was a story behind him. We all knew he didn't strike out. We know he doesn't walk. He wants to put the ball in play. He can play nine positions, which he's getting closer and closer to finishing that off. I think all he needs to do is play shortstop to play all nine. So he's a fun character to have around and a dang good baseball player, too, because he has some pretty impressive bat control. He does things that most guys have never seen before. So we like having him in the lineup because he continues to produce. And he's a guy that, you know, like I said, pretty loose around the clubhouse. He's a fun guy to get along with, and I think he brings a lot.
Well, Mitch, we really appreciate you taking the time on an off day to join us. And you know this, I've been telling people for a number of years that this was coming for you. It's been fun to watch. Keep it up.
All right, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Mitch Garver, the Minnesota Twins' primary catcher, along with Jason Castro and Willens Astudillo, but Mitch is carving out a much larger role for himself in Rocco Baldelli's lineup. The Twins will be back in action tomorrow. Martin Perez, one of the starters that Mitch mentioned, is on the mound opposite Alex Cobb as the Orioles come to the Twin Cities. That's a 7:10 first pitch. We'll have that game for you right here on 107.5 FM.
Excited to get up to the Twin Cities to see Mitch play this summer. And as I mentioned, a guy who had to earn it every step of the way. Was a ninth-round pick, a senior, didn't really get a signing bonus, and somehow caught the eye of the organization in the minor leagues and is catapulted that into a major league career.
There was another catcher that came into the organization around the same time that he did, and his name escapes me right now, but he was actually more highly regarded than Mitch was, and it was kind of believed that he was going to block Mitch, and Mitch basically was able to persevere and outperform, and he's the guy who's in the major leagues right now, and looks like he's going to stick around for a while too, especially as his defense has really improved since he was in the minor leagues. The offense has been there. I know the home runs are a little bit of a surprise for people who have followed Mitch's career so far this year, but he's always been able to swing the bat, even going back to New Mexico when he was in college. It's the defense that has really helped him blossom. And he mentioned Billy Evers, a long time minor league manager in the San Francisco Giants and Tampa Bay organizations that the Twins brought in this year, who's got a catching background and that has really helped in that department as well. And I'm blanking on the other catcher. The other catcher never played in Cedar Rapids, and I can't remember his name right now. It's all right. He's not memorable.
It's Stuart Turner.
It's Stuart Turner, yeah. He was a Golden Spikes nominee, I think. Believed to be one of the better catchers in the draft that year, the year that he was selected by the Twins. And I think he got to the major leagues. I think he was a Rule 5 selection by somebody. But Mitch has surpassed him and is still with the Minnesota Twins. And we look forward to carrying their games all season long on 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. I think the last time I saw Mitch, he was in the backseat of my car. I picked him up at the airport a couple years ago when he was back for the Cedar Rapids Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet.
He didn't clog your toilet, did he? He wasn't
nope,
the one?
He was
oh,
there.
Okay.
He was there that night with Aaron Sleggers,
who
I think has resurfaced with the, I think he's in the Tampa Bay organization right now. He's no longer with the Twins. 4:49, we need to take a quick timeout. If you can hear that in the background, that's the sound of a lot of people having a good time on a Thursday. They're at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, and you can be too. Just take the 42nd Street exit off 380 and head east until 42nd Street tees off with Old Marion Road. You take a left-hand turn, and you see Mulligan's off in the distance on the left-hand side. Happy hour running for another 70 minutes till 6 o'clock tonight. And then at 6 o'clock, not only does our NFL draft coverage begin with ESPN, but half-price wings start from 6 until close, both boneless and bone-in. Mulligan's, the place to be tonight for the KGYM Radio Road Trip, brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. When we return, a big honor for Megan Gustafson, and Iowa manages to pull it off. Back with more after this.
Many mammals and birds include the expansive grassland of Target Field along their migratory path. In April, this ecosystem attracts animal activity from deadly predators such as the Detroit tiger to songbirds like the Toronto blue jay. No stranger to this adversity, the Twins fan comes prepared with several layers of clothing and, of course, a plaid flap cap. On April 27th, the elusive Baltimore Oriole will pay its visit, and the first 10,000 fans will receive a plaid flap cap courtesy of Pepsi.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pedball, downtown Iowa City.
Hey, Jan, did you look into my suggestion about switching to Sprint?
I owe too much of my wireless contract to think about switching right now.
Don't let that stop you. Sprint's offering up to $650 per line to cover your switching costs.
$650?
It's their way of giving you a clean slate. Plus, if you lease a new iPhone, you can get an incredible new iPad on them.
This weekend only at your local Sprint store. Switch to Sprint and we'll cover your switching fees up to $650 per line via prepaid MasterCard. And if you lease a new iPhone, we'll give you an incredible new iPad on us. Get to your local Sprint store this weekend and save. Less required phone trade-in credit provided after online registration and new phone activation. Amount based on early termination fee charged to remaining phone balance. Card terms, conditions, and exclusion apply. Member FDIC. iPad 6th generation, 32GB, $0 per month after 1917 monthly credit for 24 months. Credit applied within 2 bills. Requires new line on qualifying plan. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Tax due at sale.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from Mulligan's Pub tonight. A big thank you to Twins catcher Mitch Garver for joining us earlier. If you missed our segment with him, it'll be available in podcast form at kgymradio.com coming up after the show tonight. He is the first of two guests today. We're going to catch up with longtime NFL draft NFL expert Howard Balzer in about 10 minutes, so don't go anywhere. I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous last night shortly after we got off the air as I saw one of our listeners, Ann in Solon, who was at Carver Hawkeye Arena, shared a photo of Megan Gustafson's number 10 jersey and let everybody know that Iowa was going to retire it. And I thought, they did it. They managed to screw this up, the one thing that I didn't think that they could possibly screw up. But it was just the announcement that her number 10 was going to be retired last night. They're going to bring her back for a more formal ceremony at some point during the upcoming 2019-2020 season, most likely around the holiday times when she is back from presumably playing in Europe. Great to see, right? I mean, you knew it was coming. This was a celebration of her last team, the Elite Eight team last night at Carver Hawkeye Arena, even though the crowd wasn't huge, but good opportunity for Iowa to at least address something that fans have been talking about, and that's when and how her number is going to be retired. So the announcement made last night, something more formal in front of more people coming at a later date.
I think that they had to wait until all of the awards trickled through, because it felt like for a couple of weeks, Todd, there were just new awards popping up. Her trophy case at this point must just be huge with all of the awards that she's been getting. But it seems like that all fizzled out. All of those were done, and then they make the announcement after the celebration of the Elite Eight season that her jersey will be retired. So you knew it was coming, and it's good to see that it will be happening sooner rather than later.
I think I saw somewhere where she has an opportunity to play in Hungary. Does that sound about right? I know the real money for many of the female players comes in Europe, but the Dallas Stars training camp is going to get underway. I think Megan leaves on May 2nd, which would be next Thursday, for training camp in Dallas as the WNBA is getting ready to tip off its season. So kudos to Iowa for it was a question that until Iowa addressed it, people were going to continue to ask. A lot of people, myself included, wanted it to come at the end of the regular season, but I think in hindsight, the Hawkeyes handled this about as good as you possibly could. And with that being said, we'll take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll set the tables for what will prove to be the final hour of tonight's show. Back with more after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Ace Buy One Get One Free Sale, now through Monday only. Don't miss out on all our great deals throughout the store. Save on top brands like Scott's and Ortho. Plus, get deals on other products you'll need this spring, like birdseed, spray paint, light bulbs, and more. With so many great Buy One Get One Free deals, you can't afford to miss it. So hurry in. The Ace Buy One Get One Free Sale ends Monday. Offers valid at participating stores. Buy select item and get designated item free. See store for details.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
59 as we make our way back to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Don't forget, vote in our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. It's very time sensitive. Will Kyler Murray be the number one overall pick in tonight's NFL draft? Yes or no? Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. We've got a great second and final hour of the program coming up for you tonight. We're going to kick it off with longtime NFL draft observer Howard Balzer. He's set to join us next. Would you on the way, plus more NFL draft discussion. Don't go anywhere. The second hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown, just a couple hours away now from the first round of the NFL draft. ESPN's Desmond Howard says quarterback Kyler Murray will likely have success early in his pro career, taking advantage of his speed and athleticism.
Those are going to be the highlight plays, but he can sit in the pocket, he can make throws, and at the end of the day, the most two important factors for a quarterback, the most two important attributes, I don't care what anybody says, decision-making and accuracy.
Desmond Howard on First Take. The Cardinals are expected to take Murray with the first pick. Our full draft coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and TV. The draft also on ABC. The Sacramento Kings and the NBA are starting an investigation into the allegations against new Kings coach Luke Walton. Kelly Tennant, a former Los Angeles sportscaster, is accusing Walton of sexually assaulting her in 2014. In the NBA playoffs tonight, Nuggets and Spurs in San Antonio. That's game 6, with Denver looking for the clincher, leading 3-2.
Coming up Friday, we're live from Nashville for day 2 of the NFL draft. The most impactful picks come in the later rounds, so who should be on your team's radar? Live from the NFL draft with Golic and Wingo, Friday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Welcome to Spain and Fitz.
That SportsCenter update was brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need for your health care needs. Visit CarePROHealthServices.com.
Today. Ooh. So let CarePro Home Medical help.
CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including BioFreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
502, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio and great local programs like this one, not to toot our own horns, and the Gym Class hosted by Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. They'll be back at it tomorrow with your next opportunity to take home a family four-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels at Veterans Memorial Stadium for an upcoming game this season. Colonels are on the road tonight at Kane County. That game expected to get underway at 6:35. They'll be back home on Tuesday to welcome in the Bowling Green Hot Rods and Wander Franco, one of the top prospects in all of baseball. I don't say this too often. You're going to want to buy a ticket. You're going to want to say that you saw this kid play, and he is a kid. He's very young, but the Rays have full faith in him. As a matter of fact, there are some folks out there, observers, who feel he could play in the major leagues right now. But we all know that that's not going to happen as we await the arrival of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. making his debut with the Blue Jays tomorrow. And why am I talking baseball when there's so much NFL draft to get to? That's why we've got Howard Balzer joining us on the program. Howard, this has to be one of your favorite days of the year. I know Adam Schefter sent out a copy of that first ESPN press release from 40 years ago about you being on the television coverage for the first televised draft. How are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing well, doing well. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is always enjoy this day. Now 3 days, of course. And it's, yeah, in some ways, though, the anticipation, it's good. It's good that it'll be over soon, just so all the speculation and we just find out what's actually going to happen as opposed to everybody just guessing what might happen.
Well, what's your gut feeling here on Arizona and Kyler Murray? Because there seems to be a little bit of misdirection late that maybe they're going to go in a different direction, but Vegas odds makers still say that the money is on Kyler Murray.
It still seems that that's the direction they're going to go in. I don't think they should, but from the standpoint of the way this is all developed, I understand why they will. And what's interesting about this whole situation is that without the confluence of things that happened, which began when the Cardinals fired Steve Wilks and then hired Cliff Kingsbury, that has created this entire narrative. Because I think without that, Kyler Murray wouldn't be the hot first. I don't think he's the best player in the draft, and I don't think he'd be even considered as the first player in the draft. In fact, I wonder if he would have even declared for the draft if he didn't think that there was a darn good chance. And who knows, maybe he was told that he will be that pick, and that's why he decided to come out. But my gut is they will do that. Would it surprise me if they went against it? No, but that's the way the draft is. You know, the one reality that I always say and repeat over and over is that it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what Mel Kiper thinks or Todd McShay or Daniel Jeremiah or whoever, and they all do a good job with what their job is. But no one truly knows what these teams are thinking behind closed doors. And that's why the things happen on draft day that some don't expect. But that's also why I refuse to use the word surprise when something happens that some didn't expect. Because to me, there's no such thing as a surprise on draft day.
You mentioned that we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And in Oakland, neither do any of the scouts. John Gruden and Mike Mayock sent them all home. They have three picks tonight. How intrigued are you with what they're going to do? Because this is quite honestly a make-or-break draft for Mayock and Gruden.
Yeah, it's very intriguing what they're going to do. And, you know, will they move around with those two later-round picks? Will they use those extra picks to move up to get a little higher in that first round after they make that pick, assuming they make that pick at fourth overall? And so, yeah, this is very important for them, and it works out well for them because it's such a strong draft for defensive linemen, which is what they need the most probably of anything on that roster. And if they sit there at four, which most expect them to do, but who knows, whatever they get early, that has to be a guy who comes in and helps them right away, because they need help on the outside and inside on that defensive line. And there's a lot of really good players at both those spots and early in this draft.
Green Bay has two picks tonight. They pick at number 12 and number 30. The odds that they pick in both of those spots, or do you see them maybe trading up or trading down?
Well, you know, I think I would doubt if they trade up. I guess you never know, but you also have to be smart about it. I think a lot of teams would like to trade down, especially when you get past number 5 or 6 or 7, somewhere in there, because once those, you know, those top defensive linemen go off the board, the reality is that there's a lot of players ranked very close together. And so if you can trade down and pick up extra picks, that's a very good strategy. Obviously, the flip side is you have to have a team that wants someone bad enough to trade up to get them. And so that's what's going to make, I think, that, you know, that second tier, if you will, you know, around from 10 on, maybe a little bit earlier than that, very interesting to see how the players, you know, go off the board. But, you know, teams trading up, they might just say, okay, yeah, we like this guy a little bit better than another one at a certain position, but is it worth giving up extra picks to get him in the first round? Just stay, I always feel, stay where you are and take the player that comes to you rather than giving up extra choices, which, if you just do your job well, can help come in and improve your football team.
Howard, here in the state of Iowa, everyone is wondering if we're going to see, for the first time, two tight ends from the same school go in the first round. And I know a lot of people have mentioned the fact that so many teams are looking for a tight end in that first round. If, let's just say, T.J. Hockenson goes early on at 7 or 8, could that force teams' hands to maybe draft Noah Fant earlier on than they want to?
It very well could, and that's always a situation when, you know, the one thing is, with all the way these teams stack their boards and they try to figure out what other teams are going to do, it doesn't always go to form. And so when a player gets taken a little bit earlier than maybe some teams think they will, and if that team is looking for a player at that position and they know once that next guy is gone there's a big drop-off, then, yeah, that's when you could see, you know, a trade-up, depending on where it is in the round. And then these guys are very special players. And, you know, New England is a team that is, you would think, is definitely looking for a tight end. You know, they have ammunition in the second and third round with extra picks to do that. The question is, sitting at 32, it's tough to move up a long way. So you know that they're one of those teams that's probably hoping that those tight ends last a little bit. So perhaps, you know, if one of them is still sitting there around 20, that could be a place where they might consider trading up. Because with those extra choices, then that gives them the flexibility to be able to do something like that.
Longtime NFL draft observer Howard Balzer with us tonight. Is there a player, in your opinion, that you think is a real wild card tonight, a guy who could go early or could really fall down the board?
Well, one of them is Murray. Because if Murray isn't taken first overall, then who knows what might happen after that? And who knows if there might be other quarterbacks that are taken before him? You know, after that, I think, you know, it's tough to say, especially with all those defensive linemen. And in the defensive linemen, I also include as a caveat Josh Allen, the linebacker from Kentucky, because he's a pass rusher. And even though he's as a linebacker, you know, he'll rush the passer in a 3-4. So those pass rushers, there's always going to be premiums on those guys. And so I think that it's all a matter of what order guys go off in. And so I don't know. I look and see a lot of these guys, like I said, that are so rated close together that some teams think that this guy was better than another one, and then he ends up going 4 or 5 picks later. I don't know if we'll see any precipitous slides from guys because of that whole aspect of this first round.
You mentioned all the pass rushers, and the interesting thing about this draft is that doesn't necessarily mean defensive end or edge rusher. Are we seeing sort of a revolutionization of interior pass rushers with guys like Quinnen Williams and Ed Oliver and Rayshon Gary trying to fill that mold of what we see with Aaron Donald in Los Angeles?
That's a real good point, because while the outside guys are very important, no question about it, if you can also get that on the inside like Donald gives to the Rams, then that only makes the other guys better, that are around him. And when you can get that push up the middle, a lot of times the inside guy might not get the sack, but he pushes the quarterback out of the pocket, and then there's someone there to be able to get him down. So, yeah, that is always something that teams like. And while, like you said, they're not outside guys, they're still very, very capable. And Williams is probably a freak. And so he could play just about anywhere on that line, even though he will be on the inside. But he's one of those guys that it's almost as sure a thing as you can have at that position. There used to be a day some time ago where teams' defensive tackles just didn't live up to their expectations. But more and more of them are doing it now, and he's one that it would be shocking if he didn't play at a tremendously high level in the NFL.
Howard, which one of the teams, say, at the top five, so we're talking Arizona, San Francisco, the Jets, Oakland, and Tampa Bay, has the biggest opportunity to make themselves better, to fill a desperate hole tonight?
I think San Francisco certainly has a real ability. You know, there's rumors today about them maybe shopping Solomon Thomas. You know pretty much they're going to go after a defensive lineman. That can really upgrade their defense. But I'll tell you, I think the Jets, you know, there's a lot of buzz about the Jets maybe trading out of that spot, mainly because they know they need, if they trade down a few spots, they can still get a defensive player they really like and pick up extra picks. But I think the Jets are a team that isn't that far away if they can just continue to upgrade that offense around Sam Darnold. So, and even the Buccaneers. I mean, the Buccaneers have been a team that had a lot of expectations the last, you know, year or so, and haven't lived up to them. Well, now with Bruce Arians as the head coach, you get that consistent play out of Jameis Winston at quarterback. Hey, fifth pick in the draft, that should be a guy that helps make them better. So I think there's an opportunity for all those teams to really improve with that first pick.
Let's go to the other New York team, the Giants. There has been a lot of buzz about David Gettleman the past couple of months. Is he really going to pass up on another quarterback?
Well, in the first round, maybe. But I still think they'll take a quarterback. And that's, you know, one thing about it. They've taken quarterbacks the last couple of years. They've just been in a little later round. But this is the year when they have two first-round picks that I don't think they'll take one at 6, but at 17 – and we don't know who's going to be there and which ones do they like. Do they like any of them enough that there's a lot of talk that they really like Daniel Jones? And will he be there at 17? It's hard for me to imagine they would not take him at that point. And so I think this would be the perfect year with two first-round picks to do that. And to get that guy later in that round, there's not as much of the pressure to play him right away, even though there's always a certain amount of that to play a quarterback taken in the first round. But take one at 6, and then the first time Eli Manning throws an interception, fans are going to be screaming for that rookie quarterback. 17, maybe not as much. But, you know, this is the last year of Manning's contract, and I think he's still got some good productive years ahead of him. But from the Giants' standpoint, they might be looking at it and saying, hey, we'll get what we can out of him this year, but you don't want to keep throwing that huge money after him. At some point, we have to look to the future. So I think this could very well be the year at 17, and if not there, you know, maybe a little bit earlier than they have. Well, last year, they put Kyle Walletta in the fourth round, but if they don't take him in the first round this year, I think it probably will be earlier than it was last year.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Will Greer out of West Virginia seems to have caught a lot of helium coming into the draft. Do you see him going off the board late in the first round tonight?
I think him and Jarrett Stidham and maybe even Ryan Finley could be a guy that sneaks into the end of the first round. And not necessarily by a team staying in its spot, although you can make the case for the Chargers, because every year we say, okay, one of the Chargers are going to pick the heir apparent to Phillip Rivers. And maybe it is this year. So it could be them. But what also can happen in the first round, we saw it last year with Baltimore moving into the first round to get Lamar Jackson. We saw it a few years ago when Minnesota moved into the first round and took Teddy Bridgewater. So that is the type of thing we could potentially see with a team that doesn't get its quarterback in the first round that still wants one to trade into the end of the first round and be able to do it that way. So I think that would be a possibility. It's probably 50-50 if it happens, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if it does.
The Minnesota Vikings, the need number one is clearly on that offensive line. There is not a position on that offensive line where you look and you say, okay, this is sort of the staple here. Would you be surprised if they went in another direction at that pick at 19?
Well, you know, obviously it depends on who's taken in front of them. And certainly all indications are it will be an offensive lineman. That's where the smart money is. But if all of a sudden the guy that is sitting there that maybe they didn't think would last that long, where they think is tremendous value, they could potentially go, you know, in that direction. So I would not be surprised if they went somewhere else, but I think it would have to be that type of result where a guy that they didn't think would be there at 17 or 18, I'm sorry, in the first round, and then they feel they can still get, because offensive linemen, especially a guard, which is one of the areas that they need, you can get guards later in the draft. I mean, at 18, you're not going to get a Quentin Nelson, you know, like the guy that the Colts, you know, picked very early in the first round last year. So you can get those guys later. So you can get good value at 18 for one. But like I said, if there's a player at a position that has value that they didn't think would be there, then certainly that's definitely a possibility.
Howard, we haven't had a chance to ask you about the trade that went down earlier this week, the Kansas City Chiefs giving up their first-round pick, a second-round pick next year, and then swapping the third-round pick with the Seattle Seahawks to get Frank Clark. Was that a good move for both sides?
Well, it was certainly, you know, from the Seahawks standpoint, apparently they didn't want to pay him the big money that the Chiefs did, and they didn't have a lot of picks coming into the draft. So that certainly helps them. But they're giving up a very good player. And so we'll see in the long run if it helps them. The Chiefs, it's somewhat odd to me that they would let, unless, you know, they believe they're switching to a 4-3 with Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator. And unless their feeling was that, you know, Dee Ford is more of a outside pass rusher at linebacker than defensive end, you scratch your head and say, why not sign Dee Ford to the big money and not have to give up high draft picks for a Frank Clark, especially a guy who's had some issues in his past off the field. But it must be that they just think Clark in a 4-3 is a better fit. Because otherwise, you wonder why they did what they did with the money they spent and with the picks they gave up to get him. Because they could have, like I said, they could have made sure to keep Dee Ford and they wouldn't have had to give up any draft picks.
Howard, we appreciate you taking the time to join us, especially of all nights. We will let you get back to doing what you do best, and that's enjoying the draft. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Howard Balzer with us, a longtime NFL draft analyst. As a matter of fact, was on that first televised draft on ESPN 40 years ago. Think about how far the draft has come over the last four decades. Nashville, I know the weather forecast was not the greatest, but I can think of a lot worse places to be on draft night.
Yeah, me too.
Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm going to bring this out on the air right now. I'm going to spoil. Not even Alex knows about this. I'm breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Here. Kyle, our producer, who normally lines up guests tomorrow on the program, we have a special guest joining us tomorrow, our own NFL draft analyst for day two. Live from Nashville, Tennessee, WNML's own.
No way.
Tyler Ivins from the Sports Animal in Knoxville, Tennessee.
He's back.
He offered. He asked to come. Well, he didn't necessarily ask to come on, but he offered. This is the second time this week that someone has asked or hinted that they should come on the show. Chris Earle of TV9 did it earlier in the week to talk about the legalized gambling bill. And today, Tyler slides into my DMs and says, hey, I'm in Nashville, and I'm doing local coverage.
Did he say you up first?
Three other. What's that?
Did he give you start with a you up?
No.
Okay.
No. And there was no mention of Netflix, thank God. But he did offer, and I'm going to take him up on that.
Sounds good.
And we'll learn
he's
all about.
He's in Nashville?
He's in Nashville covering all 3 days of the draft.
At Lucky.
How he conned management there into this. So I know Tyler has many folks here in Eastern Iowa who still are big fans of his, and this will give you an opportunity to get caught up with him and get some coverage from day two of the draft as we anticipate Amani Hooker, perhaps Anthony Nelson. Depending on what happens tonight, Hakeem Butler should still be available, although he could sneak into the first round for a team that needs a receiver. David Montgomery is going to be a very sexy day two pick. So there's going to be a lot of local angles which we can pursue with WNML's Tyler Ivins.
I can't wait not only to talk with Tyler but for this draft to get underway. I am tired of the speculation because my head is spinning right now.
It's going to get underway in, our coverage, ESPN's coverage, under 40 minutes away at the top of the hour. And what that means is we're going to cut the program short tonight. We'll be off at 6 o'clock. We'll take you to ESPN's coverage of the draft. And then if you want, and we want you to, come hang out with us at Mulligan's. We're going to be here for the first couple picks of the draft, depending on how fast things move, from 6 until 7, having some beverages, some half-price wings. Buddy is priming the pump with the cheese wontons. This is now the norm, I think. You have to get an appetizer before the appetizer, the appetizer being wings, which are half-price tonight from 6 until close. 1060 Old Marion Road, stop on in. Mulligan's Pub, the home for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. When we come back, we'll check in with Kyle on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, get you an Alexander Lumber Big Board update, and then would ya, an NFL draft edition of would ya on the way as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
Addison Russell's close to returning to the major leagues, and that leaves the team with two problems. One, of course, is on the public relations side. After tendering Russell a contract this offseason, it's clear the team's willing to look past his 40-game suspension for domestic violence, regardless of what fans think about his presence on the roster. That brings us to the second issue. Where does Russell fit in on the 2019 team? With Javi Baez looking extremely comfortable at shortstop, Bruce Levine reported today the Cubs are having Russell work at second base while he's in Des Moines. The Cubs currently have Daniel Descalso and David Bodie as options at second base, as well as an aging Ben Zobrist. Russell's eligible to return to the Cubs on May 3rd. In his first game action of 2019, Russell was 1-for-4 with an RBI and 2 runs scored Wednesday night as the iCubs beat Nashville 6-4.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Who will change the future of your team?
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is today on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
526. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming to you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Tomorrow we'll be back inside the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and that's where our third wheel is tonight. Our producer, Kyle Mann, is going to bring you an Alexander Lumber Big Board update. Alexander Lumber, located in Iowa City, and Answers by Alexander, their windows line on South Gilbert, not too far away from their temporary location. If you're looking to redo the interior of your home with some new windows, check them out. More details on everything they have to offer available at our website, kgymradio.com. A big thank you to Alexander Lumber. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa women made an announcement that many Hawkeye fans have been calling for since her career came to a conclusion in the school's first Elite Eight since 1993, and that being that Megan Gustafson's number 10 jersey will be retired. She's easily the most decorated basketball player in Iowa history, but also became the first consensus National Player of the Year in Big Ten history. A ceremony will take place during the season. The Rough Riders fell to the Chicago Steel last night 4-1, thus eliminating them from the Eastern Conference Finals and concluding their season. The Colonels beat the Timber Rattlers up in Wisconsin last night, 4-3, powered by Hunter Lee. He was 2-for-3 with a homer and 2 runs scored. They're back on the road tonight at Kane County. First pitch set for 6:30. Now former Kirkwood men's basketball coach Brian Peterson's coming off his second NJCAA Division II national title, and he's now reportedly working his way up the ladder after accepting a job on the South Dakota State staff. Of course, it is draft day, and we'll be hopping off the air in just about half an hour to bring you coverage on all three KGYM frequencies. The Iowa Hawkeyes are going to try to become the first school in history to have two tight ends selected in the first round of the same draft. Quite frankly, it feels like a pretty good chance. TJ Hawkinson has received a lot of attention in the 7 to 12 range. Noah Fant has been mocked anywhere from 8 to 12 to 24. Iowa State's Akeem Butler is also said to be one of the more polarizing prospects in the entire draft, and his name will at least be discussed in certain war rooms tonight. Again, we'll pick up coverage for that draft on all three frequencies beginning at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much, Kyle, and that'll do it for our Big Board updates tonight, as again, it's a truncated edition of the program. Stepping aside at 6 o'clock for ESPN's coverage of the NFL Draft. And Alex, that leads us to a draft day edition of Would Ya? And today's Would Ya? Is open for you, the listener at home, to chime in as well on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Alex, who would you say tonight's biggest X factor is?
Whew.
The player that could really throw draft boards up in the air.
It'll be interesting because I look at all of these defensive linemen and wonder how they're going to fall in line, because there's not a lot of separation between the top level guys. There are a lot of pass rushers, and as of a half an hour ago, somebody was reporting, Connor Hughes was reporting, that the Jets and the Raiders have talked about swapping picks at 3 and 4.
Dun, dun, dun.
Connor Hughes of The Athletic reporting that they have talked about it. The Oakland Raiders apparently really want Josh Allen out of Kentucky, the outstanding pass rusher who had 17 sacks a year ago, which would just, it would be a really, really good pickup for the Raiders. But I think that some of the offensive linemen, some of the quarterbacks are the ones to keep an eye out on. Andre Dillard out of Washington State. I think a lot of people really like him, including the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are wondering whether or not they're going to take, or we're wondering whether or not the Packers are going to select an offensive lineman at some point during the first round. Well, the problem with that is we're wondering if the Packers are going to take an offensive lineman, a linebacker, a safety, another pass rusher. Am I missing anything? A tight end. There are five positions right there where the Packers could use some help. But TJ Hawkinson is the number one X factor in this draft, because we knew that, or we thought we knew that T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant were the top two tight ends in the draft. We didn't know how wide of a margin it was. Irv Smith is looking like he's probably a middle-of-the-second-round pick out of Alabama. And then beyond that, there just aren't a whole lot of tight ends. So if T.J. Hockenson goes off the board at number seven, then you see some of the defensive linemen possibly getting pushed back, whether that's a guy like Montez Sweat, who may or may not have a heart condition. Cleland Farrell out of Clemson, I wasn't overly wowed with. I think that he's a good player, but he's going to need a lot of work. T.J. Hockenson goes seven. Noah Fant could jump into one of those spots earlier than expected inside the top 15 and push a plethora of defensive tackles back, defensive tackles and defensive ends backwards.
Well, I hate to take the low-hanging fruit, but I think Howard may have hit on it here. I think Kyler Murray is the X factor because, as Howard pointed out, if Arizona doesn't take him number one overall, then he's sliding down the draft board, and then you've got all of those teams that are talking about quarterbacks who have bought in for the last 2 months that Murray wasn't going to be available to them. Now he could be available to them. The other guy that comes to mind, again, I'm lazy, and this is the low-hanging fruit, is Montez Sweat, a guy who has an immense amount of talent, and there's an issue. There may or may not be an issue out there. As you said, the indications earlier today that it may have been a false return on the physical. So teams, whatever team drafts Montez Sweat, and I saw this guy up close and personal in Tampa earlier this year, he's the real deal. Those two guys, Sweat and Simmons for Mississippi State, those are NFL talents. The team that drafts him is going to have to gamble. Whether or not there is a medical issue, whether or not there's some bad information out there about him, but it sounds terrible to say, you know, you'd gamble on a guy if you knew there were off-field issues with him a lot easier than you would gamble on a player who has a health issue,
like
perhaps.
His teammate Jonathan Simmons?
Like his teammate, exactly. And look, it's a business. And because of that, teams are going to be very wary about a player that now all of a sudden has a possible medical issue popping up. But I do think the team, if Montez Sweat falls outside of the top 10, and it's probably pretty likely at this point, some team is going to get a steal.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And we'd bring in David Montgomery and everything, but Montgomery's not in the picture to go in the first round, so we'll save all discussion of David Montgomery for tomorrow's program. But I firmly believe the team that gets Montez Sweat is getting a steal. Now, Howard mentioned Noah Fant going anywhere, you know, from that 12 down to 24 range, I think he said. If I'm Green Bay and I use 12 on another position, and let's say you get down into that mid-20s, and Green Bay's got the 30th pick that they got from the Saints, but they also have a fairly early pick about a third of the way through the second round tomorrow, which is pick number 44. I'm thinking about maybe making a trade, finding a way to trade up to get Noah Fant, because he's not going to be there at 30. I firmly believe he will not be there at number 30. If they got Noah Fant at 30, that's going to be the steal of the draft. I'm on record as saying that. I don't think he falls that far. Just the mere thought of giving Aaron Rodgers Noah Fant to play with in that offense brings to mind Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham, young Jimmy Graham in New Orleans. It's fun to think about if you're a Packers fan. Bears fans, I got a question for Bears fans out there. What are you doing tonight? Because normally the draft, especially the first round, is one of the funnest nights of the year for NFL fans. You're either looking to the future and you're excited about that, or you've got a good team and you're looking to pick up a piece that's going to help solidify your team and help them take the next step. The Bears aren't a player tonight because they got, as you said, their first-round draft pick. His name is Khalil Mack, and you make that trade every opportunity that you get. I can't believe that anybody criticized it in hindsight. But Bears fans, I'm honestly curious. I should have asked Mark Dukes when I saw him at the KGYM studios tonight. Are you sort of looking out of the corner of your eye, half paying attention? What are you doing tonight with the NFL draft? 319-366-1600. No pick for the Bears and no pick at the moment for the Kansas City Chiefs either, which we've covered with Adam Tesher last week when we previewed Kansas City and their preparations for the draft. 366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, by the way. You can use it to reach out to us here on the northeast side as we are at Mulligan's Pub, getting folks registered for tickets to Cirque du Soleil at the U.S. Cellular Center. Buddy's very excited about that. I think he's going to the show that night.
It's funny, you ask what Bears fans are doing, and 4387 and 6369 both say, "I'm watching Khalil Mack highlights."
Did you guys coordinate that?
They literally said exactly the same thing.
At exactly the same time. And that's a great answer, because I would take Khalil Mack over almost anything that's available on the defensive side of the football in this draft. Khalil Mack's the difference maker. We saw it last year for the Bears. That was a trade that I think is going to go down as one of the best that organization has ever made. And one of the teams, or the team, I should say, benefiting from that is the Oakland Raiders, who will be picking at number 24 tonight. But Oakland also has the number 4 selection in the draft, and Oakland also has 27, which it got from Dallas. So the Raiders are the team to watch tonight. They're sort of the new Cleveland Browns for me, because in the past it's always seemed like it was the Browns that had three first-round picks or multiple first-round picks where you were like, okay, this is the year for them to change the face or change the outcome of their fortunes for the franchise, and they continually shot themselves in the foot. Is this make or break tonight for John Gruden and, to a certain extent, Mike Mayock?
There's no question. If they don't hit on, I'd say two of these guys, and he's the next question. The two of the three picks that they have tonight have to be instant starters and difference maker type players. If they flop on all three of them, it's not going to work out for John Gruden in Oakland. They already wasted an entire draft last year and didn't build their team, and they were awful, and they have no pass rush, and they're getting old on the offensive side of the football. They've sort of made their bed with the offensive line. They have to get this draft right. There's no hyperbole. They have to get it right. The team that I'm interested in, and I know that we have a lot of fans of this team in the area, the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings fans, what do you want your team to do with that pick at 18? And I've mentioned the offensive line and how bad it has been. They have to go offensive line. Garrett Bradbury is the name to keep an eye out of NC State, the center who would fit very well in that offense. But could they trade back? Could they be one of the teams where if Christian Wilkins or Montez Sweat falls to that position, who trades back in the first round and thinks that there's going to be an offensive lineman there waiting for him, like Andre Dillard or Dalton Reisner? They're interesting, just not quite as much as the Raiders or the Packers.
There you go. Alex has blown Ragnar's horn in search of Vikings fans tonight. What would you like to see your team do? 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, I'm sure, will be chiming in if he's listening this evening, but I know there are a number of other Vikings fans out there listening to the program. What do you want to see from your team tonight? This extends beyond the Minnesota Vikings. It's an open-ended question to our entire listening audience. 319-366-1600. 1600. Who's your guy? Or if you have multiple picks, as the Packers and Raiders do, among others, who are your guys, plural? 366-1600. Again, a big thank you to Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, for sponsoring the text line. You can also use it to pick up the phone and give our producer Kyle a call. He'll patch you through to us here at Mulligan's. It seems hard to believe, but we've only got about 20 minutes to go before we turn things over to ESPN's coverage of the draft tonight. You can still come in and enjoy happy hour for 20 minutes or so, just as Buddy enjoyed those cheese wontons, becoming part of the Mulligan's road trip ritual for Buddy. He has an appetizer before he has his appetizer, the half-price wings, which kick in at 6 o'clock tonight.
Vikings fans have chimed in.
They are a vocal bunch. This
they
does
are.
Not surprise me. Who are they looking? Who are they looking for tonight?
An offensive lineman. An offensive lineman.
To protect Cousins and get the running game going. 96-60.
Here is a name to keep an eye out on. I said Garrett Bradbury of NC State. He is a solid pick as a center. However, there's another guy out of Oklahoma. His name is Cody Ford. 335 pounds. He can slide in and play guard. I think he can play tackle. He's probably the most versatile offensive lineman in this draft. He's really good in the running game, and I think that Mike Zimmer would fall in love with him. So I think that Cody Ford out of Oklahoma, you heard it here first, is going to be the pick at 18 for the Minnesota Vikings.
Whoa.
Calling my shot.
Somebody cue up freezing cold takes.
Alex, by the way.
Alex, this is the Super Bowl for freezing cold takes.
Did you see that thread?
Oh, my goodness. They have been on fire today going through previous comments about the NFL draft. And this is – you are throwing darts if you are either an NFL draft analyst or if you're Joe Schmo like me. It's just throwing darts out there. It's one thing to say, oh, T.J. Hockenson's a surefire all-pro tight end. You drop him into the offense. We really don't know. We really don't know. We wish the best for all of the Hawkeyes and Cyclones who are taking that next step into the pro ranks. Time will tell.
Can I read
time
some of these tell. Tweets, please?
Let's do it. A trip down memory lane courtesy of one of the greatest Twitter accounts out there, at Old Takes Exposed.
Now, this is a headline from April 30th, 2016. Inside
2016, okay.
Inside Christian Hackenberg's exhaustive NFL prep. He's a slam dunk.
Swing and a miss.
Brendan Bowers, who covers the Cleveland Browns. Don't know where you guys will be in 20 years, but I'll be in Canton for Trent Richardson's Hall of Fame speech.
Okay, what else?
Texans will rue the night they took pizza boy J.J. Watt over Nick Fairley, Houston lover.
That's not good.
I don't like what Tampa did trading up to take Roberto Aguayo. I love it. He'll make a great impact in the win-loss column. A greater impact in the win-loss column than half of the first-rounders.
That's somebody who has on air in their Twitter handle, so that's a radio guy, so you know they don't know anything.
That was Roberto Aguayo, who was a second-round pick of Tampa Bay, who was cut in the first season as the kicker because he got the
– awful.
The Kansas City Chiefs trading up to get Patrick Mahomes. Tony Maserati, let me try this again. The Chiefs are stupid. For trading up to get Patrick Mahomes. These are fantastic. I've had a couple of them myself. Kyle dug some of them up from
Tony Maserati's a Boston sports. That does not surprise me. What's your best freezing cold take from the draft? You were
gosh.
A Paxton Lynch guy, right?
Not
really?
I like Paxton because he was a teammate of my younger brother's, and I thought that I said from the beginning he was sort of a project. I'll have to dig some of them up. I sent a couple of them here to Kyle, so I'll dig them up here in a second, and I'll find the absolute best one because I don't want to ruin this.
Alex is outing himself courtesy of Old Takes Exposed on Twitter tonight, just as Tony Maserati. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, there are some bad takes, but calling Kansas City out for – now, at the time – I remember at the time – people were very surprised that the Chiefs did that, and a lot of folks felt that Mahomes was a reach. He was the dreaded, quote-unquote, system quarterback, and he wasn't going to translate today. I think he's translated pretty well to the NFL. He's got a lot of catch-up coming his way courtesy of that new contract.
Here's the best one I have. Vikings fans, I know I don't need to explain this to you, but everyone else, the Vikings drafted a guy named TJ Clemmings in the third round a couple years ago, and he started at right tackle, and he was rated by Pro Football Focus the worst tackle in football. Completely ineffective. Was awful. 3 years later, he's done. This is from March 1st, 2015, from at AlexKuhn523. I don't usually favor the raw prospects, but TJ Clemmings of Pitt is the best tackle available in the 2015 class.
I've got to hand it to you. You brought the receipts on that one. Unfortunately, the return policy is past date. 366-1600, 0497 on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line wonders if there's any chance the 49ers take Kyler Murray if he drops to them at number two. None.
No, they
zero.
Have their quarterback.
They've
He's
got they've
the
got
second highest paid
C.J.
quarterback.
Beth. Oh, wait, yeah, you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. My bad. And that goes back to Howard Balzer, who was with us at the start of the hour. Murray then becomes an X factor because if he doesn't go number one overall, he could really fall down the board.
Right.
And then you also have teams that have maybe settled, and I use air quotes on settled, on another quarterback. Maybe they really like Murray, didn't think they were going to have an opportunity to get him, weren't interested in trading up to number one to ensure that they got him. And suddenly he starts to fall four, five, six down the board, and you're picking up the phone and you're calling whatever general manager is on the clock or about to be on the clock at that point. So the biggest X factor tonight, and I still think he goes number one overall to Arizona, but if he doesn't, it's the former Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray, who, as has been mentioned by a couple people on the ESPN national programs, if he were to somehow wind up an Oakland Raider, would still wind up playing a professional sport in Oakland Coliseum next season because the Raiders have one more season in Oakland before they move to Las Vegas. Murray, for those of you who don't recall, was drafted by the Oakland Athletics and offered an insane amount of money, rumored to be $14 million, to, on top of his signing bonus, which was close to six, to make a commitment to play Major League Baseball. He turned that down in favor of the draft, and it's going to be an interesting night for him and his camp.
I think he goes number one, right?
I think that whatever misdirection or smokescreen, whatever you want to call it, from Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, whether it's trying to gauge reaction from teams trying to see whether they would be willing to trade up if they were worried that they would lose a player, maybe the teams that are drafting right behind them. As we mentioned, San Francisco and the Jets are at 2 and 3, where all of a sudden you're playing games with that. There was a great article earlier today about how teams use members of the media to not only put stuff out there that's throwing other teams off the trail, but also how they pick the brains of guys like Adam Schefter, trying to get information that they wouldn't otherwise be privy to see if a reporter will let on what a source has told them about another team and how that team is leaning. It's got to be fascinating to be behind the scenes as an NFL draft analyst who is in conversation with multiple teams and multiple sources, and all of a sudden you've got teams coming to you looking for information on what other teams are going to do. With great power comes great responsibility.
Should we get to one of those reports from about half an hour ago?
What do we got?
Ian Rappaport.
Rapp.
Who wants to move? Sources say the Bills have explored the possibility of moving up in the draft, maybe for a top defensive lineman. Meanwhile, the Patriots and the Packers at 30 are a team who could move up in the latter part of the draft for the right player.
Packers moving up. There you go. We need to take a quick timeout. This two-hour program has caught me a little off guard tonight. We will check in, but when we return, we'll put the finishing touches on tonight's show and check in one last time from Mulligan's Pub, the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber Window Line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Change the future of your team.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
The NFL Draft. Round one is today on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
It is. It's tonight. The NFL Draft. We're going to pick up coverage in just about 6 minutes, which means we've got precious little time to get out of here. That is going to do it for us this evening. The KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, coming to a premature end at Mulligan's Pub. But we're still here. You can't get rid of us that easily. We're going to be hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight, so stop on in, have an ice-cold beverage, and maybe order up some wings. They are about to be half price from 6 o'clock until close this evening. Mulligan's, located at 1060 Old Marion Road here in Cedar Rapids. Very easy to find. Exit 23, the 42nd Street exit off 380. Head east until it tees out with Old Marion Road. Take a left-hand turn, and you'll see Mulligan's on the left-hand side of the road not too far away. Coming up on tomorrow's program, reaction to Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson's most likely first-round selections this evening in Nashville. Plus, there will still be some very interesting Iowa and Iowa State names on the board for the second and third rounds. We'll have it all covered for you tomorrow on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Alex, final minute and a half here. Bold prediction for the draft tonight.
The bold prediction was that Cody Ford was going to the Minnesota Vikings. My bold prediction is that the Green Bay Packers at pick number 12 are going to have a linebacker fall right into their lap by the name of Devin Bush from Michigan. He goes 12, and they move back up in the first round to address another one of their needs. So they're not going to pick at 30. They'll pick Bush at 12, move back up early in that first round, and have somebody move to 30 and select whoever they think the best player is.
Bears fans, Chiefs fans, enjoy your night off. Vikings fans, Lions fans, Packers fans, fans of pretty much every other team, buckle up as the fun is about to get underway in Nashville. That'll do it as we draw the curtain on an abbreviated edition of the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. A big thank you to Alexander Lumber for their sponsorship of tonight's Big Board Updates. Stop on in. We're still here for the next hour. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. If you missed anything from today's show, podcasts are available at KGYMradio.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes?